Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We are so excited that you join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this week we are going to deal with the lesson regarding what does God say about unity and harmony? And our instructor is the awesome Mr. Eric Jefferson. So join us as we begin with devotion. We're going to have Mr. Mark Bryant sing a song. We'll have Brother Eric Jefferson read the scripture. And closing us tonight will be Dr. James Nook. So would you join us in prayer and devotion?
Good evening, everyone. We thank you for joining us across the world, and those of you all within the United States. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to join us at Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the Word is explained. Today, we will be starting with a song, therefore going into scripture and then prayer. Our song for tonight will be Speak to My Heart. Speak to my heart, Lord, give me your holy words, that you will bring new life. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. Give me the words that will bring new life. Words on the wings of a morning, the dark night will fade away. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit, message of love to encourage me. Lift my heart from the snare, how you love me, care for me. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Lord, oh, and give me your holy words that I might see that I want to do. I can't go alone. I don't know what to do. Speak to my heart, Lord, that I might serve you. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. Give me the words that will bring new life. Words on the wings of the morning, the dark night will fade away. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tonight's scripture is found in the book of Psalms, the 133rd book of Psalms, and this is the New Living Translation. How wonderful it is, how pleasant, when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the fragrant anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life forevermore. I've read for you the 133rd book of Psalms. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, doing, and understanding, and heeding of his word.
Amen.
Amen. God,
that was come before you tonight. Go ahead.
No, it's
Hi, Dr. Nick. Go ahead.
God, we thank you for tonight and the opportunity to study your word. We ask a blessing upon our study. We pray that your spirit would have its way. Help us, God, to understand what it means to dwell together as sisters and brothers. And change our hearts and our minds that we would be able to understand how other people feel and to somehow bridge the gap that divides us. God, we need your love because our love is limited, but yours is unlimited. Help us, God, to understand and appreciate what it means to reach out and to receive and to share. God, we thank you for the opportunity to study because we want to be more like you. We seek that, and we're so grateful for your presence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But we're so excited tonight to get started with this special lesson that we have. As I said, the topic is, what does God say about harmony and unity? And Brother Jefferson read our foundational text. Our first lesson was phenomenal. We talked about where does unity start. We followed that up with last week's lesson about who is the tie to unity and God. And tonight, he's going to light it on fire as we talk about what does God say about one body. So, Brother Jefferson, if you're ready to go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. Is it possible to get a roll call? Got Mark Bryant, Brother Bryant, Dr. Susie, Dr. Nooks,
Brett.
Evening, Brett. How are you, sir? Brother Carver, how are you?
Good.
Well, listen, I thank all of you that are listening. I thank all of you that are online. So, what does God have to say about one body? When we talk about unity and harmony, it's all of us trying to work within the context of what's best for the organizations that we work for, the churches where we serve, the communities in which we live, the families in which we oversee or are a part of, and yes, even our country. Don't want to get into politics and everyone's, you know, persuasion of who they voted for. What is done is done. But we've got to find a way because there's only one country. And we're all in this together, one way or another. And we've got to try to find a way to be authentic to what God has called us to do, because ultimately that is our first allegiance, if you will. But then to show that, we that are Christians, to show that to the rest of the world, even when they don't perceive it to be such. And so I really want to talk about what does God say about one body, because that really is the analogy, is that there is one body, there are many, many members of the body, but there is only one body, and there is only one head. And we know that Christ is to be the head of the body because Christ is the one who ties unity and God together. So tonight I want to look at three scriptures that I've given you in the study. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12. Actually, I've made a modification, 12 through 31. And then we're going to look at Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, and then 4, 17 through 31. And if we have a little bit of time left over, also may look at Matthew 21 through 16 as a closing thought. But what does God have to say about one body? And let me pose this question to the group. When we say one body in the biblical sense, what does that mean to you, Dr. Nook? What does that mean to you, one body? Come off mute if you're on
can
mute.
Can I take a stab at that?
Absolutely, Brother Carver.
Yeah. To me, the first thing that one body in Christ means is that there's only one head, and that is Jesus Christ. Everything else is in relationship to that one head, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm all on you now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I agree with that, but it also means to me that the body works together to accomplish a purpose. And so even though we have different functions, we're all still working together to accomplish our purpose, and that is to praise God and to worship and to do what God would have us to do. So we should all be working together for that same purpose, even though we have different jobs.
May I take a stab at that as well? Because when you think about the one purpose, the purpose is the same as when Christ was on the earth. When Christ was on the earth, he said it was God in Christ reconciling the world back to God. Our one purpose with God in Christ and Christ in us is reconciling the world back to God. And we have many functions in relationship to that primary ministry of reconciling the world back to God. But every born-again believer is first, before anything else, a minister of reconciliation. So that purpose of reconciling the world back to God is the purpose of the one body.
Brother Brian, do you have an idea of when we say one body, what does that conjure up for you?
Well, let me back up. I agree with that which has been said in regard to the purpose of us here being a body of reconciliation for Jesus Christ, recognizing that a house divided shall not stand, as well as the fact that each part of the body is just as important for the body to grow and to live and to succeed. But even as I say these words, my mind goes back politically and actually to our country, how divided our country has been and in my estimation will be. And I can't express enough the fears, the doubts, the disruptions, how people will have become divided and fearful within this country, even in my own fears as an African American male, to gauge how things may or may not be for the future of my children, our children, and people who look like me. So even though as I recognize that we are a body to reconcile those to Christ, I still have those fears. I still have those doubts. I still have those premonitions of that which may come that people that don't look like me have shared that have not been in the best interest for our country. And so in my soul and my spirit, I understand that which has to come in spirit before it becomes natural. But in my humanness, I still see and sense the fear that we have in our nation.
Amen. And I need to address some of that as we speak tonight, because I agree.
Amen.
Brother Brett, do you have an idea of when you hear that one body, what that says to you and speaks to you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. As my dad told me many years ago when I was just getting into my teens, one body is just like a car engine. An engine has various parts, and they all got to work in sync. so is the body of Christ. We have so many different extensions within the body of Christ, but we all have to work towards one goal. And that's where we as Christians have got to come together, and we have got to work together to emphasize to the world and to those that have not heard the word of God what it means to be part of that body. And in so doing, it makes God stronger.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Susie, what is that phrase, one body? What does that bring to mind for you?
Well, what jumps out at me is, you know, I'm very excited about everybody's analogy, those who gave them about what the body is, but the one that comes to mind for me is to see, is to understand, first of all, that it's not just merely a collection of individuals who subscribe to a particular philosophy or thought, but I see the church as and the body as an organism in which the members are interrelated, is kind of like what Dr. Nick said, but if you can see Amen. An amoeba or an organism, when one part moves, the whole body has a shift. When the next one moves, the whole body has a shift. And it does it in sync because it's unified. You know, even though, you know, you may have movement, it impacts the whole body no matter where that movement goes. If it moves to the right, then the whole body is impacted in some sort of way. And they're so interrelated that, and I often tell people, when we talk about relationships, that one can't fall without the other. We're so connected as an organism. And that's what comes to mind for me.
All right.
Amen.
So this is Eric. And so when that body is working right and functioning right, it has to be in harmony. It has to be in sync. It has to be working towards one direction, one way, in order for it to achieve its stated objective, whatever that objective is, and we've heard reconciling, you know, the world back to God as Christ was. And so what I want to do tonight is to look at, you know, the scripture part of one body with many parts, and then talk about how that plays out in our communities, in our churches, and in our country. And when we're done this evening, to see if we can come to some type of understanding about what God would have us to do in these times. Because as Brother Brian said, I think the biggest thing now that the election is over is that there are a very large segment of people who do not know what lies ahead and do not understand what the worst could be. There's a thought mm-hmm. that it could be bad, but nobody really knows. And so I hope we can come to an understanding of what God would have us to do, because what I submit to everybody, as you know, kind of the you know, you got to take a test, but you get to look at the book and look at the answers, if you will. I know you already remember those kind of tests. God is still in control. And my test, God is still in control. But God is speaking to us as the body of Christ, as we said that we are and as we claim that we are, that he is speaking to us even through this process about what he expects and wants from us. And so I hope when we leave here is that we come to a realization of what God wants from us, and then to take that realization and to put it in plans, and then to move forward in carrying out those plans, if you will.
Amen.
Sounds fair?
Brother Eric, this is Dr. Susie. And
yes.
One of the things that seems really pertinent, and I do agree that the ultimate purpose of the body is to reconcile the world to God. But in the process, the purpose of the body is to edify and to build up the parts of the body to be able to do that. And so, and as it does so, the Holy Spirit achieves the purpose of equipping the saints for service, and does so by building up each entity or each part of the body, with each having a gift in which it brings to edify and to build, and having one goal, you know, which is, you know, the gospel of the kingdom be shared to the world, to reconcile the world to Christ. And so as we do that, I just wanted us to understand that to do that, I think we say this every week, is we have to be in the Word. And so that's we go back to the fundamentals that undergird where we go and how we operate.
Well, you better be in the Word.
And this is James. Go ahead.
Go ahead, James.
I just wanted to say that also in that, in, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, and I think you have that down, but, you know, if one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. And if a part of the body celebrates, we all celebrate. So I think it's important for us to understand that we need to hurt with other people. We need to be connected in such a way that we care about how people feel and how they are hurting. And we should not be to the point that love has waxed cold and where we don't care anymore. And so it's very important also to understand that parts of the body do hurt and parts of the body may be injured. And we need to all see about that part of the body that is injured or hurting.
All right, so agreed. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:31, and if someone could read 12 through 26 for me. 12 through 26 to start with. 1 Corinthians 12 through 26 to start with.
Okay, I've got it. New Living Revised Version.
That'll be fine, Dr. Nooks.
There is one body, but it has many parts. Even though it has many parts, they make up one body. It is the same with Christ. We were all baptized by one Holy Spirit into one body. It didn't matter whether we were Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We were all given the same Spirit to drink. The body is not made up of just one part. It has many parts. Suppose the foot says, "I am not a hand, so I don't belong to the body." It is still part of the body. And suppose the ear says, "I am not an eye, so I don't belong to the body." It is still part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If the whole body were an ear, how could it smell? God has placed each part of the body in the body just as he wanted it to be. If all the parts were the same, how could there be a body? As it is written, there are many parts, but there is only one body. How far did you want me to read?
20 to 26.
Okay. The eye can't say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." In fact, it is just the opposite. Parts of the body that seem to be weaker are the ones we can't do without. The parts that we think are less important, we treat with special honor. The private parts aren't shown, but they are treated with special care. The parts that can be shown don't need special care. But God has joined together all the parts of the body, and he has given more honor to the parts that didn't have any. In that way, the parts of the body will not take sides. All of them will take care of each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part shares in its joy.
Thank you, Dr. Nook. So,
amen.
One part suffers, the whole body suffers. One part is honored, the whole body is honored.
Amen.
Many parts. One body, many parts. And God has placed them exactly where he wants them, which means that God knows exactly what needs to be done and how it needs to be done, even when the body parts don't understand that. And what I would tell you is that, you know, that translates as we look at our human bodies and we look at our churches and we see the infighting and the people that get angry with the pastor and you know, the deacons and the trustees fighting with the pastor and the choir members going against the choir director and all of those things, because everybody needs to operate in their own area of operation and not be concerned with what somebody else is doing, because if that is where God has placed you for your ministry work, and I do mean ministry work, even if it's ushering or singing or, you know, cooking in the kitchen, that's ministry work. And that's where God has placed you, because that's where God is using the talents that he has given you best. And we need to not be concerned about what somebody else is doing and be concerned about our own area of operation. I tell my staff members all the time, don't worry about somebody else's lawn. Water your own lawn. Don't worry about how green their grass may look over there. If you water yours and take care of what you need to do and fertilize and water it, and you know, it'll be green too. And the other part of that saying goes is, don't worry about what's over there, because that might be astroturf. That might not even be real. And we need to understand that when it comes to the work that we're doing on God's behalf. But when I look at our country and what we're going through, is that when one part of the body hurts, it all hurts. And those people who are Christians, who are authentic about being that, understand that this country cannot continue to deny the impact that people of color have had on
it. Amen.
I mean, we can't. We cannot in good conscience continue to do that. Because when you look back at history, people of color have made a major impact on this country, including the Indians who were here when the settlers got here. Because if it had not been for them and their care and compassion, the settlers never would have made it. They all would have died. And so all I would tell you is that God has seen all of that, and God knows all of that. And so as we work through this process, no, I'm not happy about what transpired, but I know that I serve a God who sits high and looks low, who knows everything, who has told me when I read his word that my trust in him and my obedience to him will yield the right outcome for me.
Amen.
Now, brothers and sisters, does that mean that I'm going to see that on this side? Maybe, maybe not. But I'm looking at the end game. And I think we would best be served. We do need to speak up. We do need to call. We talked about justice a couple months ago. We do need to call injustice out. We need to be proactive about speaking for those who can't speak for themselves. And we need to do that in God's manifestation of what he wants for us to do, which means, as Dr. Susie said, we need to be in our Bibles. We need to be studying. We need to be praying. We need to be fasting. We need to be talking to people who can give us sound advice.
All right.
On those circumstances, if we do not understand, we need to get into small groups and huddle and talk about that and strategize and plan.
And pray.
We absolutely got to pray for guidance and direction about how do I move forward on that. I can tell you some stories that when I was younger that I made decisions that wasn't the the smartest thing to do for the right reason. And my grandmother always told me when I would do those, and it was kind of out of whack, she's like, you know, there was a better way to do that. You should have consulted someone. You should have prayed about it. You should have looked at it more than just with your limited sight.
Well, come on, Grandma.
And that's what we got to do now. Even in this situation, that's what we have to do now. We have to figure out how we can work within the framework that's been established, because God doesn't like chaos and disorder either. And so I'm imploring us that we need to do that, because if we are Christians, we are to be of one body, and Christ is the head. And we all have different parts of the body. And we need to take that body and get in concert with it and say, okay, this is the movement. This is how we do that. When change was made in the 60s, they came together and found a way to get that done. They didn't always agree on how to get it done, but they found a way to come together and say, okay, this is a strategy. Now, there were some other forces outside working on their behalf as well. I will always attest to that. But those who were moving the dial forward, moving the needle, if you will, they found a way to come together and say, okay, let's talk about this. Let's strategize. Let's use this. And there ain't nothing wrong that if that doesn't work, to come back and say, okay, well, we got to regroup. Isn't that what they do in the military, Brother Brett?
Amen.
Don't they have to say, if that campaign didn't work, we got to regroup. We got to come up with something else.
There you go.
But I would ask this question, and I think we read it in the scripture. I heard somebody read it talking about the suffering and saying that we have to understand that suffering is a part of the struggle. And the reason why I bring that forward, Brother Eric, is because it doesn't happen without some sacrifice. And we got to understand that because of our humanity, it's not going to always, somebody, I don't want no drama in life. I'm like, excuse me, are you living?
Your life
makes,
is a drama.
You know, I don't know where they came up. I don't know where they came up with this thing lately. I don't want no drama. No, I'm like, where you been? You know, the life.
Now, I'll give
the
you
the world.
There are degrees of drama now. And so,
well, maybe,
you know,
they are talking about degrees of drama, but I'm talking about life itself is a drama.
Some people live in drama. Some people attract drama, and it's a part of life's experience.
But
where,
if God gave you that,
a,
then drama is your life to live, Brother Lester. Some people have drama come in their life because that's what God allowed them to be in their life.
You know what
I've
been told is
oftentimes. And so for us to go around
saying
or making somebody perceive that having drama in their life is a negative thing, it's like,
what
is it? So you want to condemn somebody because there's drama?
No, what I've been told is people tend to attract to them what they are. And so, some people never experience violence in their whole life. Some people experience violence continually because they're violent people. And if you are a person who likes high activity or high drama, then you attract people to you who like high activity and high drama. If you're a violent person, you tend to attract to you violent people. If you're a peaceful person, you tend to attract to you peaceful people. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have some events in your life that are violent or peaceful or dramatic. It's a matter of who are you and what are you attracting to you because of who you are.
Well, I don't know. I think Jeremiah was a quiet person, didn't have a lot of drama until God sent him to be involved in some drama. And then he was immersed in drama. I can think of a whole bunch of prophets who were not being bothered in the desert, and God sent him, Pharaoh, Moses for one, into some drama. So sometimes I think God is the one that's leading, guiding, and directing the drama. So I don't know, Brother Lester. I don't know if I'll agree with that a whole lot.
Well, I don't know. If you look at the 3 periods of Moses' life, right? The 40 years where he was being prepared in the ways of the world in Egypt, the 40 years while he was being prepared for relationship and obedience to God in the wilderness, and the 40 years where he was actually on his assignment of delivering God's people from Egypt to the promised land, taking them there, you'll see that during those transition periods is where you evidence great periods of trauma, and then during his assignment at the end. But still, all in all, Moses is a very interesting character, and I think one of the best examples of that, or most meaningful things you take from that, is all 3 phases of Moses' life were required for him to fulfill his purpose. So that's just a thought.
So this is Eric, and thank you, Brother Carver. That's absolutely true. And so the last 40 years of his life was nothing but drama till God took him away, because he was working with some stiff-necked people who didn't want to do what God was telling them to do. And I think for our lives, and Dr. Seuss, I think you're right, for our lives is that we need to be asking God, if we're in study and we're in, you know, prayer and fasting and all that, and we're asking God, okay, God, what is it that you want from me out of this specific season that I'm in? What is it that you require of me? What is it that I can help you to get the glory that you need for me to help you get through this process? But we don't normally do that. We go into our own humanistic piece and say, well, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to do this. And I ain't going to do this. And I ain't going to do this. And then we turn around and ask God, well, I need you to bless me here and I need you to bless me there. And God is looking at us from my perspective saying, wait a minute. You want this one-sided. You want me to do what you want me to do, but you don't want to do what I want you to do, and I need you to do this because, believe it or not, Brother Eric, I'm still in charge of you.
You know, that is an interesting point, because God does say he prepares our table of blessings in the presence of our enemies, right? So I guess where our enemies are is where the drama would be. You might have an interesting
point. And you go where God sends you. And you go where God sends you.
Amen.
Right, and so, and that's right. So,
the Beatitudes says, blessed are those who make peace. They will be called sons of God.
Yes.
Blessed
Amen.
Are those who suffer for doing what is right. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. So,
Amen.
You know, there's some suffering that we have that we suffer because we're trying to do what is right, and there's some suffering we get because we make it ourselves. I think we have a mixture. But we should be trying to seek peace. And I think drama comes to us sometimes when we really don't want it. And then sometimes we make drama. So I think we have it both ways. But I don't know about you, but I want some peace in my life sometimes.
Amen.
I think most of us do.
And God
knows that.
Yeah.
But sometimes we do have to suffer. And if we're suffering for righteousness' sake, then, I mean, that's all right.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be doing what is right.
Yeah. Mr. Brett, I think every day we all go through a portion of our day with drama. You can't get away from it. Because some of us wake up in the morning and the person next to us is our drama. Others, it's when you get out on that highway to go to work and you don't know who's going to veer over into your lane. That puts drama and stress on you. And then I think that God has been trying to tell us all along that we need to start getting back into the church. Like a lot of people, I was upset when Trump won, but then I looked at it in a different way. Maybe this is what this country needs to get people to start coming back to the church, start praying. Because we all know that prayer changes things.
Amen.
So what Mr. Trump may decide to try and do, we as a nation, if we pray together and be on one accord, God can change and make what he wants to have done come to reality. And I think that with the people protesting like they have been, that just shows that we need to start getting back into the church. We need to start getting our families to go to church. We need to start bringing people to church and getting them into the Word of God and having them get back into the Bible the way things used to be. I think this is God's way of trying to turn us back around and get us to do what he wants us to do.
Amen. Listen, I want to I was going to read through 31 of 1 Corinthians 12, but in light of, because really what that talks about, and for those that have been reading a while, it talks about the body parts, if you will, the apostles, the teachers, the preachers, those who do miracles, the gifts of healing and other, and we're aware of that. I really do want to go into Ephesians 4, because there is the unity of the body and what it speaks to, and then to draw that into what I believe God is calling us at this particular point in time in our country. Can someone read Ephesians 4, 1 through 16? Brother Carver, do you have that? Are you able to read for us tonight? Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Hey, you need to come closer to the speaker. We can barely hear you.
I'm sorry. Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Here we are. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for the work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Amen.
Amen. So, Brother Carver, in those passages, what was the main takeaway for you when you read those?
The main takeaway in this whole passage here to me is where it says that Christ gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the people for the work of service. That work of service is the reconciling of the world back to God, and that it would be built up through those apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, until we reach the unity of the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the two things is the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Those are the two things in which we are built up.
Amen. Dr. Nooks, you?
Yeah, I think all those are important. But before we can really acknowledge and respect and honor the pastors, the teachers, the preachers, evangelists, the 1 through 7 strikes me that we should live a life that's worthy of what God chose us for. And
all
that
right.
life should be a
Amen.
Life that is not proud, and we have a problem with that because we want to have the big head. And we should be gentle and kind and patient and put up with one another, and that's hard. And it says in love. So that life that's worthy of God's calling on us is what we should be striving to do. And we need to reflect every now and then and take a look at our lives and see how we're acting. And that's hard for us to do, too, because we don't want to see ourselves as God sees us. We want to see ourselves as something other than. So the Holy Spirit makes all of us, gives all of us gifts and helps us. And we should be seekers of peace. And we should try to work together. And I really, I see churches so divided and one thinking they're better than the other. I mean, the pride thing, and even as Christians, we have a hard time being gentle and patient with one another and trying to lift up one another. Dr. Susie talked earlier about, you know, we ought to be edifying one another, and that's in Ephesians. You know, we need to be coming, growing to that one body, that perfect body, perfection, or growing as God would have us to be. And it's so hard for us to do that. But the people that God wants us to be, that's what we should be striving for.
Hey, amen, Dr. Nooks. Let me ask this question. Has anyone seen love make hate go the other way? Has anyone been in an instance where they have seen love in full effect encounter hate and hate went the other way?
Absolutely. Dr. Susie.
Has anyone, and I'm saying this because I know Dr. Susie has been in this, has anyone been in a place where there was nothing but hate and love stood up? And love stood up and called it love, and the hate just got even worse to the point to where they realized that we cannot coexist.
Amen.
There is something about that love of God, as I had an old Deacon Cotton say, it will draw or it will repel.
All right.
Love will draw or it will repel. And when it's repelling, it's not repelling itself. It's repelling the evil that is around it, that it cannot stay in the same. It can't stay in the present.
Come on.
And that's where we're going to find ourselves here right now. That if we are the Christians that we say we are and in the body as we say we are, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's fault because you are love. Always keep yourself united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourself together with peace. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And through this process, that love that shows up, it's going to either draw people in, that we're going to unite and we're going to work together as one body, or it's going to repel, and evil is going to flee, because it cannot inhabit the same space as love.
You know, you make a really good
Erica,
point.
Dr. Susie, I have a question. So do we as a group believe that you can teach the word to a vast bunch of believers and not be some sort of, like you said, either repelling, rejecting, or receiving. Because, see, that's the way, to me, that Jesus was. You either accepted him or you rejected him every time. And so, I you know, this drama thing, I think if you serve the Lord, there's going to be some drama. Because it's going to always be evil. James Cleveland said, whenever you're trying to do what's right, evil is always present. When you are trying to
God,
the enemy is seeking whom he can devour.
Absolutely.
You know,
but,
you know,
but if
you, know what,
if you are teaching,
you know,
go ahead, Brother
you know
Carver.
What, you know what's important about this is, and it makes me think of how we started this conversation tonight, was Mark was saying how he's concerned and there are people who are fearful, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But as you stated, perfect love casts out fear. Fear and love cannot occupy the same place. So when we, as the body of Christ, are loving one another, there is no need for fear because we are strengthened and equipping one another to protect, to edify, exhort, and comfort one another in the body of Christ as being the body of Christ. One thing I know that we do in this country is we make the mistake of confusing America with the church. When you say the United States of America, that is simply a nation on the planet. When you say the body of Christ, it is a part of the nation on the planet and a bunch of nations on this planet for that matter. And so we have to not make the mistake of confusing the world with the church, but understanding the power in the church transcends anything out there in the world. And when the church is the church, when we are walking in love, when you read 1 John 4, chapter 4, the whole chapter, and take it in, and it tells you over and over and over that perfect love casts out fear, that when you walk in love and you love one another, that you will be protected. And those things are established and affirmed three times. God said he sent his son so you could do this. So you have the power. The question is, do you believe and are you going to obey? Because when you love, what you're doing is taking your concern for your own interests and giving that to God and comforting someone else and doing the work you've been given to do, because God says that when we comfort others, that the Holy Spirit comforts us. It doesn't say wait to get comforted by the Holy Spirit and then go comfort somebody, right? Remember when Jesus Christ was tempted in the wilderness? When he was after he was tempted, then the ministering angels came and ministered to him after he was finished doing his job. So our job is to love and comfort others, and we should expect to be ministered to after we do that. So all things must be done decently and in order, but it all starts with love.
Amen. So even Jesus had some drama, Brother Lester.
Amen. Oh, for sure.
So let
before
me
take
let,
one
let,
miracle.
Let us.
Oh, boy.
You all go have some drama. Let's just face it. So let us look at Ephesians 4, 17 through 31, and take a look at what God is saying to us as living as children of light. He's you know, in 1 through 16, he's talking about the unity of the body, but now it's talking about living as the children of light in that body. Can someone read Ephesians 4, 17 through 31?
I have it.
Go ahead, Dr.
Ephesians 4, 17 through 31 says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Truly you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. You want me to go on? He who has
Go ahead and read it actually through 32 to the end of the chapter.
He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I've read through the
All right,
the
brothers
NIV
and sisters.
Translation.
What do you think about that? Given where we are in our lives, in our churches, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our country, what do you think about that?
Guilty.
Oh Lord.
Guilty? Guilty and the process whereby you can be reconciled.
And
in the process whereby you can be reconciled.
God's not through with me yet.
We are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. We are grieving God.
Oh. Yeah, you know, most of us, what comes out of our mouth is a real clear indicator about what's going on in our heart. You know, I know how far God has brought me, but I would not be honest. I would not be honest if I said what's coming out of my mouth is 100% of what God wants to hear. And we all need to be careful about that, because doubt, worry, fear, unbelief, malice, rage, anger, jealousy, criticism, condemnation. As a matter of fact, God in Philippians 2 says to do all things without complaining and murmuring. So if any of us ask ourselves, how often do we do things and complain and grumble and murmur and moan and whine and all that, right? God says that's not how I want you to do things, right? So if I were to suggest that I don't do those things, I could tell you honestly right now, I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. And I'm
there you
working
go.
Toward
and
that
and that's
because
it, Brother
I know. Yes.
Is it, Brother Carver, that's it, and that we all should be on our way. We all should be doing that, because when we find ourselves in that situation, we should be asking God to forgive us and to guide and direct us about how he would have us to go and what he would have us to do. And when we realize that we have done that, we need to, at that particular point in time, stop and ask forgiveness. And to carry that a little further, when we know that we have done it to somebody and we see them, we need to go up there and say, I need you to forgive me. You may not understand why, but I need you to forgive me because I have done something that I should not have done. And that's the other part of that forgiveness, is that especially when you know that it has happened, you know, you've literally set out and done something wrong or said something that you know you should not have been repeating or saying.
Come on.
But we need to do that. But what I want for us all, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you.
Amen.
No, you don't understand all the stuff that God has taken you through. You don't know and you don't understand. But if you are this Christian that you say that you are, this follower of Christ, that you want to follow, you've taken on his name, then you need to be changing the way that you do stuff, throwing off that old nature that Paul talks about here. And that means coming to the realization that we may not understand why things have happened the way that they have happened. But God is calling us to say, you still need to be looking to me. I know this situation is going on. I know exactly why it's going on. You may not understand why it's going on.
All right.
Maybe I'm causing this country to task for things that it's done. Maybe I need for my people to come back to me to humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face. Maybe I'm trying to get your attention because I'm trying to save you collectively or individually or your family. But God is saying you need to be looking to me. Because all that other stuff is just that. I hold the finishing of your faith. I hold that.
All right.
Yeah, Dr. Susie.
This is Dr. Susie. Please permit me to read this message translation. It says the old way has got to go. And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd. Hello. The empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long. Now, the crowd we're talking about are who? We're not talking about people on the street. It says they've refused
Absolutely.
For so long to deal with God that they've lost touch. Come on, somebody. Not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go into sexual obsessions, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you. You learned Christ. And my assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse, come on somebody, of ignorance, everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Now, what this adds up to then is this. No more lies. Somebody hear me. No more pretense. Somebody get real. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other after all. So when you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry. But don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Did you used to make ends meet by stealing? Well, no more. Get an honest job so that you can help others who can't work. Watch the way you talk. Hello, somebody. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Somebody, sometimes we need to just be quiet. Each word is a gift.
Yes.
Don't grieve God. Don't break God's heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another. Sensitive. Somebody be sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you.
Amen. So, sometimes you just got to let the word speak for itself. So, Dr. Susie, I turn it back over to you because that passage says it all for me.
Well,
there you go.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, as we close tonight, I'd like to get everybody to kind of, Brother Jefferson did an honest, awesome job in sharing the Bible study tonight. And we just asked that we can go around and share some take-homes. Does anybody like to volunteer a few take-homes? Brother Lester, Dr. Nooks, Brother Brett, anybody want to give a few take-homes? Brother Mark, Pastor Diggs, those of you on the line. something that our radio audience
I think
can
something
share.
That I'm going to take away is from tonight is to watch what I say.
Amen. Amen.
This is Mark. My takeaway is to place my complete trust in God, going beyond the circumstance or what I may see or even feel, but to always trust and have faith in God.
Amen. Brother
Amen.
Brian.
Amen.
Well, this is James. I think we need to look at each other differently than what we have in the past and understand that we're all a part of the body of Christ. And that is, if in the past you have looked at people as being other than or different than or not connected to or your belief system, and understand that we are all a part of the body of Christ, those that are Christians. And we ought to see each other as sisters and brothers in Christ, even though we may be different colors, different denominations, may be from different parts of the country, may have different accents, but we should not be seeing ourselves as enemies, and we should be trying to help one another when we are hurting. And then be honored when one of part of us is honored. No jealousy, no anger, no hatred, but love.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you have anything, Brother Brett? Or are you good? Okay. Well,
no, I'll give you something. No, I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you something real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're Catholic, Baptist, Church of God in Christ, what your denomination is, we are all part of the body of Christ. And
Amen.
We must act
Amen.
Accordingly.
Amen. Thank you.
And we have
Thank
got
you.
To
Thank
be
you.
On one accord. There you go.
Amen. Amen. This is Dr. Susie, and I just want to thank you, Brother Jefferson, for an awesome, awesome job today. Specifically, as we are reflecting on what does God say about not two bodies, not three bodies, but one body, and understanding that God is saying to us that we are one, no matter what. No matter if you claim to have a relationship with God and you don't like me and you don't care about me, then you need to go back and rethink that relationship, because if you're in relationship with God, then you're in relationship with me. So if
Amen.
You hurt,
Amen.
I should be hurt. If I hurt, you should be hurt. If we're in this, if we struggle as a group of people who claim to love Christ, then we need to come together and figure out how we can help one another be successful, because our goal, as Brother Lester said, is that we are to reconcile the world, but we got to be reconciled. So in order for us to move forward, we have to understand the precepts, that the foundational truths. And God has said that is love, and that love must be manifested among each other, all
Amen.
Of us, in order to move. Because, frankly, if you don't do that and you think you're standing on my back, you can't move either.
Amen.
We have to understand that we got to be able to be together, moving together, seeking God's face together, doing God's work together for the purposes of reconciling the world to Christ, and understanding that we have to grow and be matured and nourished and edified so that we can do the task that God has given each of us. Thank you, Brother Jefferson. What an awesome Bible study tonight. So we're asking, Brother Nix, if there is any praise reports. We always want to end on something positive tonight. Can we give some praise reports from the group?
Yeah, I have
Anybody
a
have
report.
A praise report?
Yeah.
All
you
right.
guys prayed for my court date last week, and it went very well. And I just want to thank you for
awesome.
Those prayers. I was at perfect peace, and God was with me, and everything went great.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Are there any other praise reports?
Yeah, this is Eric. I got one. I had been dealing with some legal issues in our business by some folks who said they were Christians that I had to let go because they was doing ugly things. And the Lord has worked it out that all of their claims and files were unfounded. And so we have gotten a clean bill of health, except for one that we're still waiting on to continue our operation and do the good work that the Lord has asked me to oversee. So very, very, very happy about that.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
God's got
Praise
you.
Praise the Lord.
Sister Britt.
Go ahead.
I just need prayer because tomorrow I meet with the surgeons at VA so we can go ahead and get me healthy.
Amen.
Absolutely.
We'll
be praying
that
for that, Brother Brett.
Thank you.
Amen. We'll even mention that tonight, Brother Brett. Is there anybody else on the line that has a praise report? I just want to thank God for giving me life. I mean, sometimes I think we forget the fundamental things is that we woke up in the morning. And I just want to thank God for giving me life, the opportunity to praise God and to be a part of a Bible study. I keep telling people that the times in which we are living is a time when we need groundedness. And if you are not in a Bible study, you need to get in one. So
Amen.
Without further ado, we will prepare to close. I guess I'll close the prayer tonight. I had tried to get Dr. to do that earlier. But God, we come before you and we just praise you and glorify your name. We thank you for all that you've done. We praise your name because you've been so good. God, you are more than you said, whatever we ask for, that you would do exceedingly abundantly above that which we ask for. Imagine, and you have magnified yourself in so many ways and expressed yourself
yes.
and blessed us in so many ways. Brother Carver has talked about how you phenomenally blessed him. Brother Brian has talked about how you phenomenally blessed him. And we are praying right now that you would even cover Brother Brett so that as he goes through and talks with the physicians and things he needs to do to create that wholeness in his life, that you would abundantly bless him. We just praise you and glorify you for all that you have done. And, Lord, each of us come before
yes.
you with the hidden prayers in our hearts, and we ask that you seek those things out, oh God, and you fulfill those prayers that we have in our life. We ask that you look through our radio audience right now, and those people who have food needs, Lord, that you would meet their needs. Those people who are hungry, that you would meet every need that they have.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, those people who are trying to pay their bills tonight, Lord, you know what they stand in need of, and we're
yes,
asking
Lord.
That somebody would bless them in an abundant way. Lord, you know that there are situations on their jobs, oh God, that need to be settled, and we ask that you come in right now in the name of Jesus and do a miracle in not only their lives but the lives of the people who are challenging them and making life difficult. Lord, we know all the things that are occurring right now. There are people who are wounded because of this election. There are people who are struggling and in fear because of this election. But, Lord, we know you are the God. You are Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. We know that you are the beginning
yes.
and the ending, Alpha and the Omega. We know that you have the whole world in your hand, and you are looking
yes.
out for your children. And so, Lord, we come to you tonight. We magnify your name. We know that you're going to meet every need. We are trusting that you would lead,
yes,
guide,
Lord,
and direct us.
You.
And that, Lord, you would touch each person that has a need, that hears our voices tonight, oh God, and that they would come to know you in the pardon of their sin, that they would come to build a relationship with you since they seek you through the word every morning, and they are growing
Hallelujah.
And being
Thank you, Lord.
So that they can grow and
yes,
manifest
Father.
True relationship with you with as a body, oh God, that we would not fall one without the other, that you would strengthen us, oh God, so that when we move to the right, the whole body moves. When we move to the left, and Lord, that we would not go for the left to the right in the sense that we would turn away from your word, but that we would be strong and courageous and unmoving.
Yes, Lord.
Standing on your word, oh God, choosing
yes,
to conquer it step by step. We praise you and glorify you this day, oh God, and we ask that you lead us into this future, Lord, that we don't fully understand, but we know that you do, and we know that you hold the future.
Yes.
We ask these blessings
yes,
now
Lord.
And forevermore. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen.
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 Again.
Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection. your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.